The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
This is The Hard Shoulder, and I am delighted to be joined by Fiacna O'Brien and Sheena Ryan to talk about the challenges that families face when it comes to autism and the intersection of autism and autistic kids with the education system in particular. It is Autism Acceptance Month, we should say, and this was all kicked off yesterday, the month with World Autism Awareness Day. And we might start there in terms of awareness, because I think we have come a long way on that front in terms of awareness. Gone are the days when autistic people were completely othered or locked away and we didn't see them. And despite that, I wonder whether, you know, we really are aware that we understand the condition, as it were, as in those of us, you know, who only engage with autism in abstract terms, like me, who only talks about it, and not those who deal with it on a daily basis.
I mean, I think society in general has learnt a lot over the last number of years, but I think society in general also has a lot more to learn. I think one of the most helpful terms that was invented in the 1990s was the idea of neurodiversity, which I think enabled us to put a sort of a potentially positive spin on what autism is. Autism, we talk about a spectrum. The autism spectrum is not something that's linear. We often talk about autistic people, if you know one autistic person, you know one autistic person. You know, there's so many different types of how, autistic people cope with different sensory needs and whatever, and there have been, I suppose, some cliched interpretations of what an autistic person is and how an autistic person behaves. And there's, you know, we've had a tendency to maybe overemphasize things like superpowers and, you know, those kind of cliched points of view, which ultimately are not helpful.
Did I, Sheena, in the question I put to did I betray actually an old-fashioned understanding? I describe it as condition. I said, "Tell me about the condition."
Well, I think condition is a move on from the ASD description.
Yeah.
You know, so that is better.
Yeah.
I think, like anything, when people are trying to understand something, and I think people are, we want a kind of easy, concise way. So it's quite easy for people to say, oh, yes, so you're sensitive to light, sensitive to sound, and we'll give the child a fidget toy and, oh, they might have a meltdown. We understand all that. That's fine. But obviously, it's a lot more complex than that. And I think sometimes people are often thinking about autistic children as opposed to how that translates as people develop and autistic adults. And I think the best description I've heard, and I've heard this a couple of times, is that instead of looking at somebody as if they have, you know, they're one end of the autistic spectrum or the other, that the autistic spectrum is like everybody has a mixing desk. Mm. And each trait or thing you have to deal with can be raised to a different level. Mm. So somebody might have no issue with light or sound, but have real difficulty with communication in terms of how other people misunderstand them, or transitioning from one activity or event to another within the day can be very difficult for some autistic people. So I think it's important that people don't see it as a little bit or a lot.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny though, I know, because I've spoken to people as well who, again, I'll use the phrase you just said, we shouldn't be thinking of it in this way, but say a lot. They're at the a lot end of that spectrum.
Yes.
On that mixing desk, they've quite a few things, a few dials are turned up quite high. And sometimes they bristle at people maybe claiming the same space as them when they don't have the same amount of difficulty to deal with. Does that make sense?
Oh, listen, the casual flippant, oh, sure, everybody's autistic.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure, you know him, he's a bit autistic.
Yeah.
That type of thing, you know.
No, it's appalling.
Because they're a bit socially awkward or something. Oh, sure, he's a bit autistic. And then the person who's actually autistic or has an autistic child in the family goes, that really annoys me.
We are not all autistic.
Yes.
We are not all at one end of the spectrum or the other. Like, that is a huge misconception. And autism or autistic is not an adjective,
you know,
and it's that I think is something that has, as people try to understand I think people think when they say something like that that they're being inclusive.
Yeah.
But it's actually not. It's disrespectful to the people who experience misunderstanding on a daily basis.
So in terms of trying to, you know, fit society or the things that we all experience in society, let's say the education system is the obvious one, because most of us all go through the same education system, the overwhelming majority of us. And it works. The basis for its kind of its operating model, the OS, the operating system, is that we're all pretty much the same. Mm. We'll all pretty much have the same experience and we'll have pretty much the same outcome. Some might get an A, some might get a B, some might get a D.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yes. It's all pretty much, you know, close enough.
And therein lies the huge problem in the education system. Yeah. You know, therein, you know, our education system is entirely geared towards doing exams that enable you then to further your education, perhaps going to third level education, to enable you then in turn to get one of the good jobs in the world, you know. And for decades now, we've been in this treadmill of this education system. It's entirely broken. It doesn't allow for autistic children at all, you know.
I don't think it allows for children
in general
with any differences.
Yes.
And I don't think you need a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And we keep talking about this because we're one of the very lucky families that do have an appropriate school place. Mm. And we have a child that still isn't able to go.
Why not?
Well, and we've asked that question a lot.
Yes, it's a question we ask ourselves.
We think it is really down to the fact that the education system is not inclusive. And that is not about, oh, we need more autism classes, or, and we probably do need a lot more special education teaching. Mm. But the whole system. So it's, you can say, okay, but, oh, well, those children don't need to sit exams. Oh, those children don't need to do that. But if the system is set up for people to sit exams, then you're still being judged on that basis. That's still the level. Mm. So it's, you're still not achieving what everybody else is achieving. So that's just one. That's a very general observation. Our personal experience is that we think our son is now, should be attending first year. But the cumulative effect of how isolating and difficult primary school was has now just got to a point where he just can't go. And I keep hearing the term school refusal, which I just think is not accurate either.
Mm. He's almost blaming the child.
He's not refusing. Yeah. He can't go. He doesn't feel safe. He feels like something is going to go wrong. Mm. Something always goes wrong. Every time I open my mouth, every time, he's misunderstood. And that has been...
He'd actually love to be able to go. Love to be surrounded by his peers. He'd love to be engaging in conversations about different subject matter. He's fascinated by history and so on. And yet it has come to a point. He started secondary school full of positivity about going, and he lasted a couple of weeks before it sort of fell apart for him, where he just couldn't fit in, you know, and then this builds up
an
accumulation of anxiety and fear around not succeeding.
But realizing this is actually the same. I'm meeting the same difficulties, and that's about being misunderstood, finding it difficult to connect with peers.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me as well. Sometimes, you know, you hear about kids and they need say additional supports in the classroom, and any parent listening to this would be aware of it, because even if they don't have it in their own family, someone in your kid's class, you know, will have some support. Yes. And it might just be a movement break. Mm. But what I often think about is, and I guess it speaks to what you're talking about, the one size fits all, or the end goal being this idea of success.
Yes.
Is that the point? What's the point of the movement break? It's to help the child kind of regulate and calm down and everything. But ultimately, it's so that the child then can go back in and do what everyone else is doing in the same way that they're doing isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. That's actually what it is. It's this child is not fitting in. Let's give them 2 or 3 minutes so they can get that out of their system, and then they'll fit in again.
Well, and then half the time, hopefully they'll come in and they'll stay quiet.
Yeah.
They will mask how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was coming home and I'd say, okay, what did they talk about in history? He goes, I don't know. Mm. I was so busy trying to not be stressed by the environment that I couldn't hear. I couldn't actually hear what was being said. Primary school is crowd control.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, it's not, the teachers are just like, it's they're dealing with the system that's been foisted on them as well, you know, in the classroom.
Absolutely.
We've now come to a point where we're dealing with the possibility of home tuition.
And, yeah. Well, we're not. We've been given that as...
Yeah. That's, have you not thought about home tuition?
What are the options? Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you look into that and you realise it's an impossibility. You know, there are, I mean, we've been, you know more about this than
I do.
Well,
you know, what's on the table for anybody not able to access school for whatever reason, whether it's medical, whether it's anxiety, is the home tuition grant. Yeah. So the home tuition grant, you can imagine there's a fair bit of paperwork, as all of these things entail. Yeah. The outcome of that, the best case scenario is 2 to 7 hours a week. And if we get the grant, we have to recruit the teacher. And the Department of Education don't have a list of teachers. They don't help you in any way.
But they also have a shortage of teachers.
So
they can't hire teachers.
So somebody said to me the other day, how are you going to do that? I was like, I don't know. If they can't hire teachers for schools, or how are we going to find somebody for... So we're just saying that's also the only alternative available to us at the moment.
Yeah, but you also then, and it goes without saying, you miss out on all the other things that you're meant to experience in...
Oh, God, I mean...
In the classroom. You talked about being surrounded by your peers.
Exactly, friendship.
Our goal is not home tuition, but we're just saying that's all that's available. No, it's devastating to see a child unable to participate in life fully because of... We feel it's actually just... a bigger issue in society. It's the lack of willingness to just meet people where they are.
Yeah.
This constant need to try and... We can't change other people. We can't change children. We shouldn't want to. All we can change is our response and behaviour. And school doesn't provide that. It doesn't provide the resources for that to happen.
And how would it look if it functioned the way you would like it to function? You know, paint a picture for me as to how the school would operate. Because, you know, I'll play devil's advocate.
Yes.
There'll be people listening to this and they'll say, you know, oh, this is awful, but hard cases make bad law, or the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, you know.
And
if the system works for the overwhelming majority, you know,
but
perfection is impossible. That's the argument they'll make.
That's the question I would ask. Mm. I don't think you need to have a diagnosis of anything to find school a very difficult place. The difference, I think, between perhaps children with a diagnosis is that other kids can just get through. They can go. Mm. I mean, we all have, how many friends do we have that would say, hated school, school was miserable, really, it isn't what, you know, their life is not now reflected by what happened to them at school.
Yeah. I know people like that in my group who had a really awful time in school, and in hindsight, what they needed was someone to talk to them about what was going on, as opposed to just deciding early on, and often decided really early on, they're a problem. Feighton is a bit of a problem child, you know, and that's a whole other issue from what you're dealing with. But it's, you know, it's another manifestation of the square peg round hole. Well, square peg, we're not changing the shape of our hole, so you've got to deal with it.
You know, trying to envisage a perfect situation or a better situation is a very good question. And I think that also boils down to the value that we place upon our teachers and our teaching community. And you know, insofar as I've seen over the decades that have elapsed since I've been at school, teachers are being priced out of the market. Teachers can no longer live in the capital city, you know, and that's a huge problem. And that's a problem that is a much wider problem, that it just doesn't just apply to teachers. It applies to so many people in general, and people are just being priced out of existence. And that's a massive societal problem as well. So how, you know, to say what would the ideal situation be is a question that is broader than how can we just fix things for the autistic community. It's a wider question than that, I think.
It is, but an ideal educational system would not be one based on exams and going to university.
Absolutely.
It would be based on looking at society. What does society look like? Does it look like everybody went to university and got X amount of points and, you know, it doesn't. We need people to fulfil every role in society. Mm. And school doesn't reflect that. Education doesn't reflect that. It doesn't nurture at the moment. And that is a lack of teachers, but it's also lack of imagination and creativity around how learning could be and the joy of learning and it not being a competition.
Yeah.
Mm. Learning is a competition.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that's, you know, that's at the very basic, fundamental bit that's wrong, is that?
Yeah. And in order to kind of reshape that system, where does one start in going about it? Because, you know, to use that awful phrase that politicians love to use, you know, we are where we are. If you were designing the system from scratch, you wouldn't design probably what we have. You guys certainly wouldn't. But it is the system. And
we were talking yesterday about, wouldn't it be interesting if you started collecting data from pupils about their actual experience?
Okay, yeah.
Really asking them from first year all the way up, start collecting that information. What is their experience? Mm. What would they prefer? What would they like? But it would require a huge amount of open-mindedness from parents as well.
Yeah.
We're all in this system. This is what we did. You know,
but also the policymakers are the products of the system.
Absolutely.
And they're the successful products of the system.
I was going to say it may have worked very well
for
them.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's you're kind of,
but, you know.
It's worked out okay for me, would be the attitude. And maybe a subconscious attitude, but an attitude nonetheless.
It is subconscious. And I was saying to you yesterday, remember the teachers who would say things to you like, you'll end up packing shelves in the supermarket.
Yeah.
If that was a really awful
a
thing.
Yeah.
Somebody has to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are so many jobs that we need people to do. So to decide that one role in society is better than another is absolutely based on financial gain or status.
Where one way of making a living is more appreciated than another and is therefore, and there's a status applied to all of that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you go to a city like Paris and you realise that waiters who work in restaurants there are vocational, so many of them, you know, and there's a respect and a reverence applied to that craft, which is something that needs to be applied to all trades and crafts. You know, you don't have to be a high-flying, you know, senior counsel or a respected consultant, you know, on six-figure salaries to be respected. That's where it's wrong. That's what's broken. And the system gears people towards those kind of levels of achievement.
You Ireland to be closer to that model. Like, is this a symptom of a modern Ireland?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a symptom of a modern world. I mean, I think I do remember a time when teachers were, I certainly had very, you know, inspiring teachers, people who seemed to be in it because they loved to teach and they loved kids and they loved the feedback. There was this kind of loop of this transaction that was going between teachers and pupils where they were discovering new things, discovering literature and poetry, and in my case, music hugely. And, you know, I'm sure those people still exist, but, you know.
But the school system has been the same for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For forever.
You're still
lifetime.
Looking at the Leaving Cert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many points are you going to get? What do you want to do in college? If you don't go to college, you won't succeed.
You might end up stacking shelves.
You might end up stacking shelves.
So it is completely idealistic to say that actually we don't just need to change the system for autistic children or children with additional needs, special education needs. We just, our conversations have led us to go, actually, it just needs to change for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. But it's a very big conversation.
Yeah, it is. But it's important to have it. And do we also need, so we need to change maybe our understanding of autism and how it manifests and what it looks like. And I like the mixing desk metaphor and the education system and services. Do we need to have a conversation as well around the role of adults with autism in society? We have, you know, more kids with a diagnosis now. And again, we had a society back in the day where people were squirreled away and we didn't necessarily see them, you know? Right. And all these kids are going to grow up to be adults. So what does that look like,
I attended a conference last year called Awesome training, Minding Autistic Minds. And it is run by autistic adults, autistic professional clinicians. Very, very inspiring. But one of the speakers said that he felt that neurotypical people are, he actually said they're a bit like Britain, they are the colonizers. They have colonized the world, and they are now expecting everybody to fit in with how they see things and behave.
Yeah.
So neurotypical people have colonized everybody else.
Yeah.
And anybody neurodivergent is being made to fit in. It's a bit like losing your language.
Yes.
Like we should all know about. So
how do you shake off the yoke of colonialism?
But it also boils down to, in general, like we're living in a, you know, an increasingly polarized society, and values like kindness and empathy and understanding are being swept under the carpet. You know, and we need to hold and cherish those values, and in fact reignite them, you know, more than ever.
But you get back to, we're talking about the word inclusion.
Yes.
Which drives us mad. Because, you know, inclusion can't be just allowing or permitting somebody to be there. And quite often that is what it is. We're inclusive. The sports club is inclusive. It's whatever. But inclusion means, really, it means non-judgment. It has to mean accepting people as they arrive, and assuming that people, whoever they are doing their best.
Yeah. But yeah. It's also, there's a degree of patronization that goes with the word inclusion. Because if you were that person who is neurodivergent, now, for me to be inclusive, it's, I'll allow you into my world a little bit. We'll stick with that kind of the British Empire metaphor.
Yes.
I'll let you into the, I'll let the kind of the local Indian into the gentleman's club. Am I being inclusive as opposed to it being the other way around? No one ever stops to think, should it be the other way around? Would it be inclusive for me to go out and join their club?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about kindness, understanding, about not assuming that you are the center of the universe and that your experience is the one.
Yeah. It's like societies should, you know, that great idea of the arc of history kind of bending towards justice. Like all of this should be getting easier. It should be getting easier to roll the boulder up the hill, but it's probably more Sisyphean when we find ourselves in a world where they want to put us all into silos and pitch us against each other. You know, nobody wants to celebrate the space in between or to populate it anymore. You know, we should be, but it's kind of a worrying place we find ourselves, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've often been asked as a musician, you know, what type of music do you play? You know, I just play good music, or at least that's what I try to play.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what you said.
And that's what I... That's not what my kid thinks. That's not what my daughter thinks when I put on my new drag race. That's another story. But no, but you know, categorizing and genre defining and all that kind of thing is it can be unhelpful sometimes.
Yeah.
I can understand why it happens, but it can be unhelpful.
But you know, we live in a world where if your political views diverge from somebody else, they consider you, you know, the enemy.
Yeah.
And defining.
Yeah,
and
absolutely defining.
You. And therefore, I'm not going to... Yeah, I keep saying, if you're not open to speaking to everybody, whether you agree with them or not, how will you...
Well, listen, I hope people at home have got something out of this and might have their own conversations off the back of it. Thanks a million for coming in.
Thank you, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.